Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is the Tornado, Tony Pennekel.
Sorry for our little late start tonight. We're just running a little behind schedule. We have hopefully Mark Van Heining, an MMA fighter, joining us tonight, who's friends with one of our sponsors there that sells all that Zion stuff on eBay. It's like the only Zion ad we'll ever run on our site is for him. So we're going to try to have him on around 8:30, but in the meantime, we got plenty of other stuff to talk about. Of course, no surprise, the boxing match last weekend went as we all predicted on the last show, and I was surprised that actually Marquez really did win almost every single round on one of the cards, so my old mojo is back, I guess, in boxing predictions. Did you get to see the fight, Tony?
No, I didn't. This weekend, you know, I was kind of busy last weekend. I didn't get to go to the fights in Philadelphia, as I sadly predicted I wouldn't be able to. I called that one right, though, also. Rich, before we really get into the show tonight, as you can hear, I'm probably a little low-keyed, a little distracted, not on my usual ranting self. I just got the word about maybe an hour ago that one of my former trainers passed away yesterday. So I'm a little distracted here. But I just wanted to take a few moments just to talk about him and, you know, what he meant to the sport of boxing and then what he did for me. Gentleman's name was Jimmy Arthur, a very, very old school guy. You figure when he trained me, he helped me out, I'll say, back about 10 years ago. I had been boxing at the time for about 5 years, and a lot of guys were starting to write me off a little bit. I had just come back 18 months after tore the ligaments of my thumb, and they're saying maybe it was, you know, past my time. And I mean, even though I was still a young guy, I was still in my early 20s. I was really having a hard time, and a lot of the talk was I had become too predictable, too one-dimensional. You know, everything was left hook, and that I wouldn't be able to, you know, improve any more than I was. So my trainer at the time brought this guy Jimmy into my camp. Jimmy had been training down Marion Anderson before. He had brought in a heavyweight by the name of Gerald Nobles and a few other guys, and he was always like, because he was well known in Philadelphia and highly respected. So anybody that would ever talk with the name Jimmy Arthur, it was almost like you're talking about a god. Oh my God, Jimmy Arthur. And my dad was saying one day, like, boy, Jimmy was really watching you in the ring tonight. Seemed he was like interested. This was back around 98. And I wasn't thinking nothing of, you know, what does Jimmy Arthur, you know, want to do with me? And then 2 years later, they brought him into my camp, and he was a guy that he was willing to work with anybody and everybody, whether you were a no fight, just starting out amateur, or whether, you know, you were a top contender. And you never really asked for much. He was tough. I mean, there were nights I walked out of that gym, there was a puddle of sweat on the floor. You know, he busted my ass. And the one thing he always said to me was, you know, working on my right hand. For years, I was traditionally a left-hook kind of guy and never threw much of the right hand. I never had that good a one. And he picked up on me because your balance is screwed up. And I didn't understand what he meant. And then he took out the old Rocky trick, and he tied the rope between my feet, which nobody had ever done before. And pretty soon, he kept making me throw the right hand, and I didn't want to. I'm like, I'm a left hook guy. I want to throw my left hook. He's like, no, you're going to use your right hand. And he worked me for hours. I mean, there were nights I walked out of that gym, I could barely stand. and I developed the right hand. And I saw Jimmy again. What? Yeah, I saw him about, I guess it was a couple years ago, at the fight card. He was still working with the guys. He was working with our friend Simon Carr. And I remember reading an article in the paper. The one thing about Jimmy was funny. It's like, you know, when you're taught and someone's speaking to you, give them respect, you look them in the eye. Well, you didn't look Jimmy in the eye, because, like, if he was showing you, like, how do you, like, footwork, or how to, you know, throw your hands and turn punches over, you were looking him in the eye, he'd say, what are you looking in my eye for? He's like, you look at my hands, because I'm not teaching you with my eyes, I'm teaching you with my feet, or I'm teaching you with my hands. You look at my hands, you look at my feet. And I remember, it was even in the article that I had in the paper when he was working with Simon, and it was funny because I saw him, like, a week later. And Jimmy went to show me something, and I just threw my hands right on, or my eyes right on his hand so fast, because I don't want to get yelled at. Well, I know he fell into bad health a few years ago, and he had a stroke. I know he was in a rehab facility and really, you know, was struggling, but we were all hoping against hope. You know, he's an older gentleman, but he would come out of it, and he would, you know, be eventually, because he always wanted to get back to the gym. He always talked about getting back to the gym. And it was funny because my dad called me up yesterday. He goes, hey, I got some good news, man. He goes, I met a couple guys that, you know, used to be down in Iron Anderson. And I heard Jimmy Arthur's doing well. He's, you know, they're maybe thinking about letting him out of the nursing home. And I was like, wow, that's great, you know. Thinking maybe he's going to be able to pull it all back. And then I got the email tonight that he had passed away. And, I mean, it's really hard for me to, you know, sit here right now and just thinking about it. You know, I mean, I didn't train with him a whole lot. But the short time I had, I mean, he taught me about respect. He taught me about, you know, sometimes you have to go against, you know, what you've always done. Sometimes you have to be able to change. And that's what he, you know, made me do. He made me come out there and say, you know what, here's the way I've always done things, but in order to get better, I have to maybe take a step back and learn a new way of doing it. And for that, I always appreciate him. I'm going to miss him. I think all of Philadelphia boxing is going to miss him. And, you know, rest in peace.
Well, certainly we should definitely give our condolences there. But thanks for sharing that. And actually, ironically, I had an additional sad shout-out myself. I had one of my subjects that was involved in all the stories and the cases involving the plastic surgery case in Indianapolis just took her own life, it appears. So that's something I've dealt with over the last couple of days. And Cecilia Iacovelli was her name, and she was just a great lady, very innocent, very humble person, and never would hurt a fly. And all these people just came out to torture in the end. It was almost like that girl in Massachusetts here who was forced to kill herself when she was bullied so hard. That inspired a whole movement on the subject. So, you know, this is a different example. This is like legal stuff. You know, people went after her legally and just tortured her in the end when she already had a lack of quality of life because of her condition. So, unfortunately, when you try to help people like that, it's just there's only so much you can do for them. You know, it's just the suffering just goes on no matter what. So, sorry to begin the program on such a sad note, but you know, it's like we're dealing with this at the same time, so might as well get it out there.
Well, I mean, we got it out, and hopefully, you know, we can relax and have a good rest of the show.
All right, well, we definitely have a lot to talk about. We got some big news, no pun intended, or actually pun intended. We have big news with heavyweight fighters in the mixed martial arts world. Butterbean is definitely going to be fighting the world's strongest man. He says he's going to knock him out. That's the latest news I heard. And it's going to be in Poland. Over in Poland for KSW Promotions. Also, I don't know if you heard this, but boy, there's a big bombshell in the USA Today article I just read here about another Ultimate Fighting guy, a mixed martial artist, from the UFC named Chael Sonnen, who's about to take on a really big matchup with Anderson Silva this weekend. And not only is he talking trash about his opponent, but apparently he has words about Lance Armstrong. And he's saying now that Lance Armstrong gave himself cancer by taking banned performance enhancers.
Right.
And, this is the exact quote from Pro MMA Radio. Lance Armstrong did a number of things, and he gave himself cancer. He cheated. He did drugs, and he gave himself cancer. Well, instead of saying, hey, listen, I cheated and gave myself cancer, and don't be like me, he actually made himself the victim. And then went out and profited something like $15 million from this, hey, poor me, let's find a cure for cancer campaign. Instead of just coming clean and saying, look, here's what I did. I screwed myself up, and I hope people learn from my mistakes. And this the guy who wrote the article ends it perfectly. I mean, this is one of the best little paragraphs I've ever seen. He says, maybe by putting Armstrong in his crosshairs, Sonnen is trying to prepare himself to chase down Silva. Combat Sports Observer sometimes used the phrase riding his bicycle to describe fighters who refuse to engage their opponents. Silva spent the last two rounds of his previous bout prancing away from Damian Maia. So, never know. So that's interesting. I don't know if I would agree with those statements, but they're certainly controversial and interesting in light of the investigations that are swirling around Lance right now. He could never possibly prove that his whatever he did, if he cheated, would have caused cancer. But you never know. You never know that type of stuff. Anyway.
Well, I mean, weird things that happen. But yeah, I mean, just taking a shot at a person like that. I mean, he's so highly respected without having any backing for it. Asinine. What's going to happen is, you know, I mean, I don't know how much crossover appeal there is with fans of MMA and fans of world-class cycling. I really don't know. But, I mean, what a way to get people to turn against you and hope you get your head decapitated and talking about a guy that, you know, universally respected.
Right.
Maybe he's just trying to sell tickets. I don't know.
I don't know, but it was all the news yesterday with the MMA circles. Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway. We have, of course, the big UFC event this weekend to talk about. I don't know if you've taken a gander at any boxing schedules lately, but I'm just about to go skip over there right now. Good luck, Shrek.
Yeah, my computer's... Hey, you won.
Yeah.
Congratulations. But, I've had very spotty internet access for the last few days, so I haven't had a chance to do a whole lot of anything. Facebook here and there, or sending you that link. By the way, I saw that you posted it on the blog. Did you include the link to vote?
Yes. I had the link to the picture.
Good picture. I think we should win. I don't want any ugly children to win over me. That would be tragic. But, I haven't ever looked at BoxRec a whole lot just because I've had very limited internet access.
Well, we have a female fight here tomorrow night between Holly Holm and Jamie Clampett in New Mexico. This is a light welterweight fight, 10-rounder. Holly is 27-1 with 7 knockouts, 3 draws, and Clampett is 21-4 with 7 knockouts and 1 draw. And this is for the vacant International Boxing Association female light welterweight title. The best fight on that card. Then we have a Showtime fight between Maurice Harris, 23-14 with 10 knockouts at heavyweight, and Nagi Aguilera, who is 16-3 with 11 knockouts, and that's for the vacant USBA heavyweight title. Also on the undercard there is a fight between two undefeated fighters, Chris Avalos, 16-0 with 13 knockouts at bantamweight, fighting Christopher Martin, 18-0 with 5 knockouts and 2 draws.
Congratulations, you won.
Twice.
Wow, we're doing good.
The luck. All right, what else do we have this weekend? Well, I think we got mismatch of the week right here in Mexico. Jose Luis Castillo on Saturday will be fighting on United States Fox, it says, in Jalisco, Mexico. Jose Luis Castillo at welterweight is 61-10 with 52 knockouts and 1 draw. He's fighting Daniel Eduardo Yocapicio, who is 4-12 with 2 draws.
Normally, I would agree with you here, Rich, that this could be a potential mismatch. I mean, looking at the records, you got one guy that's only won 25% of his fights, and the other guy a multiple-time world champion. But looking back at it, Castillo is so washed up right now, it's not even funny. I mean, Ricky Hatton absolutely annihilated him like 2 years ago with one single punch. And then he fought, I believe it was on the undercard, I think he fought Alfonso Gomez and got pounded. Like I said, I'm talking about memory right now, but I'm pretty sure it was Gomez that pounded him. His last two fights, he has not looked good. He's been having trouble making weight. Ever since his fight with Diego Corrales, he is absolutely not been the same fighter. So this could be a chance of a guy who's 4-12 knocking off the former world champion. I mean, hard to say because I don't know this guy who's 4-12. All I know is what I've seen out of Castillo when it's not been good.
Well, we shall see. That could be the mismatch, or the upset of the year. Who knows? But if it's really that bad for Jose Luis, then HBO will not be outdone this weekend. Don King has a beautiful-looking card here from St. Louis. With the main event for the IBF light welterweight title and the WBC light welterweight title between Devin Alexander, undefeated at 20-0 with 13 knockouts, and Andrei Kotelnik, who's 31-3 with 1 draw and 13 knockouts.
And that's
going to be on HBO. And we have a light heavyweight matchup between another old guy, Glenn Johnson, 50-13 with 34 knockouts and 2 draws, fighting Tavoris Cloud, who's 20-0 with 18 knockouts.
That ought to be an L, man. That's awesome. I'm glad you told me that, Rich. Because I didn't have any plans for Saturday night, and I'm kind of glad at all now. So I'm going to be sitting
back.
It's
not over either. It's not over. We have two more beautiful fights here. Don King is not messing around. We have your favorite guy, Corey Spinks. 37-5 with 11 knockouts. And he's fighting Cornelius K9 Bundridge from Contender fame. 29-4.
I kind of always think I could be bossed. You cracked me up. But I'll keep his play being in all that entertainment because Corey Spinks is in it. You know, he'll dance and he'll do his big show coming to the ring. And then the fight starts, the bell rings, and it's generally a bore-a-thon. Corey Spinks hasn't had a knockout since, like, I think 1998 he had his last knockout, something ridiculous like that. Someone's like, yeah, I was like, yeah, except every fight that he fights, I'm usually out by the second round.
Really?
I'll tell you, you know what Don King did to me one time, and I think this was punishment for the year I dressed up as him for Halloween. Don King, there was a fight, because you know I'm a big Bernard Hopkins fan, and this was when, you know, Hopkins still had a lot left. He just beat Felix Trinidad. And he had broken Carlos Monzon's record for title defenses. And he was fighting William Joppy. And there was a lot of trash talking going on. I mean, a lot of trash talking going on at the press conference.
So I was really excited for this fight. We went over to my neighbor's house to watch it, me, my dad, my neighbor's brother-in-law. And Don King making us get to the main event of Hopkins and Joppy, which ended up being, it was one-sided. Hopkins beat him up pretty good, but it was still overly entertaining. Put a John Ruiz and a Corey Spinks fight on the undercard. So you had one fight we were counting clinches, and another fight we were just sitting there watching the track meet. 24, the worst rounds of boxing we would ever see, and I had to endure all of it to get to the main event. Now, Don, that was wrong. That was wrong, Don. I mean, come on, that ain't cool.
Well, that's just the half of it there with that card. Those were a couple fights there, but we also have a few more, at least one more here. Ryan Coyne at Cruiserweight, undefeated at 14-0 with 4 knockouts, and Warren Browning, 12-0 with 8 knockouts, fighting for the vacant WBC, USNBC. Cruiserweight title. And the Spinks fight is actually for the IBF light middleweight title, and the Cloud fight is for the IBF light heavyweight title. So it's IBF all around. And the WBC thrown in for this one. Also on Saturday, we have a fight in Brooklyn, New York, headlined by Mauricio Martinez, 35-9 with 23 knockouts, 1 draw, fighting Reynaldo Lopez, 30-8 with 21 knockouts. 3 draws as well. That's for the vacant USA New York State Super Bantamweight title. Let's see. That's it for the week of boxing.
Before we go on to anything else, let me just, I didn't get to go last week, but they said the fight card in Philadelphia was pretty damn good. I mean, it was up to the last minute that I ended up not being able to go. I mean, I know I was stuck at work, and we have month end, which I mean, thankfully I only have to deal with 12 times a year. That's the way I look at it. And I ended up calling my dad when I was at once. I was like, "Hey, Dad, you know, what do you want to do here?" I said, "I can still probably get out of 5. I mean, I'll be busting my ass when I'm in on Saturday, but if you want to go, I mean, we'll still go. I mean, it's going to be a bitch getting down there in time, but whatever you're doing." He's like, because I got a sound, he's like, "I'm getting stuck working late, we don't have tickets yet." And I'm like, "Yeah, I might be able to call some favors in and get us some tickets. I don't know how good they'll be." And then I was like, we both decided it was going to be tough on both of us to meet up and get down there. And I said, "Well, shit, I'm going to stay a little bit late at work." I ended up staying home at 7 o'clock last week. I was like, "Motherfucker." Then I ended up going home, and my head was spinning when I left, so I ended up going out to a bar and doing shots. I'm like, "Well, my head's going to be spinning. Let me give it a reason, Phil."
Yeah.
So, but as I predicted, Rich, if you go back to the tape of last week's show, the main event, Gabriel Rosado and Derek Ennis. And I said, you know, it was going to be the Ennis's skill versus Rosado's size and power. And Rosado stung him a few times and, you know, wobbled him. But it was Ennis that was just proved to be a better boxer, a little bit faster, and had potentially Philadelphia's fight of the year, and it ended up being a majority decision going towards Ennis. So the streak of the great tornado picks is still alive. You don't need a squid when you got me.
Did the squid pick correctly? I think the squid picked Marquez, didn't he? Little bastard.
Yeah, the squid picked Marquez, and so did I. So I was 2-for-2 last week. I picked Ennis over Rosado, and I picked Marquez over Diaz.
Wow. So, what are you trying to say? You're smarter than a squid?
Yes, I am.
Well, this weekend we also have some mixed martial arts to talk about. We have King of the Cage Sniper going on in San Manuel Casino in San Bernardino, California. Steel Cage 3 from Frisco, Texas, the Dr. Pepper Star Center. They have Fight Night 6 from the King of the Cage actually is tonight in San Bernardino. The other two were on Saturday or Friday tomorrow. Fight Night 6, Tuffa, Terrigal, New South Wales, Australia is going on Friday. Union Nation Cup 7 is going on in Rostov-on-Don, Russia. a pro FC card. Bad Blood Galaxy MMA is going on in Honolulu, Hawaii on Friday. And we have Extreme Couture versus Team Quest in Tough Enough at the Orleans Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas on Friday. And you can actually order that through our website. We're going to have a link up there tomorrow where you can actually watch that through GoFight Live, and you know, every order that we get through our site is a buck for us, so hit us up. In Wildwood, New Jersey, we have Battle at the Beach 2010, and in London, England, we have Invincible Ultimate Challenge MMA, and also, of course, we have to have an event in Brazil every week. We got Power Fight Extreme 3 going on in Curitiba, Paraná, Brazil. And we have UFC 117, Silva versus Sonnen, which we'll get into in a minute. That's from Oakland, California on Saturday. Relentless NAFC from West Allis, Wisconsin on Saturday. Fight World Cup 6 in Nerang, Queensland, Australia on Saturday. And Brazil 17 Shooto from Brazil on Saturday. Jesus, this still goes on. We got M1 Selection from Atlantic City, New Jersey. Gig Tokyo 5 Shuto on Saturday from Tokyo, Japan. Ringside MMA Invasion from Beauport, Quebec on Saturday. Destiny MMA Showdown in Waipahu from Honolulu, Hawaii at Waipahu High School. We have in your neck of the woods, we got Central Pennsylvania Warrior Challenge in York, Pennsylvania. I don't know how close that is. It's probably pretty far out, huh?
York is about 2 hours. Center of the state.
Coliseum Fight from Manaus, Amazonas, Brazil. It's also on Saturday. We have Peru Fighting Championship 5 from Lima, Peru on Saturday. Brazilian Fight League 7, from another one from Brazil. This is like the weekend for fighting MMA, I guess. And the last one on Saturday we have from Colorado Springs, Colorado, NMEF Annihilation 27. On a couple events on Sunday here, Passion Tour 7 from Tokyo and Dynamic Rising on 3 from Takashi, Osaka, Japan. And, of course, we had to run down the UFC 117 fight card. Anderson Silva, as we talked about, fighting Chael Sonnen as the main event there. Silva's been really dominant in his last few fights, and you know, he's been so dominant to the point of mocking his opponents and doing a lot of silly things in the cage there, making a fool of himself. Also on this card, John Fitch versus Thiago Alves. Clay Guida versus Rafael Dos Anjos, Matt Hughes versus Ricardo Almeida, Junior Dos Santos versus Roy Nelson, which I think that is a better
main
event.
Huh? Got a little big country.
Yeah, big country. He's a great character, and he's actually, we talked about this before, I think we had him on the show once or twice, I believe. And he actually mentioned that, I don't know if he mentioned it, but I found out later that he's got a website registered for a fighters union. So if anybody's going to do that and, you know, stand up for the fighters, it's going to be a guy like Roy Nelson, who seems to take no shit from Dana White, and has, you know, had a little back and forth with him in the press leading up and during the Ultimate Fighter show, so it's kind of interesting. But the Dos Santos is the number 7 heavyweight, and Roy Nelson just blazed through everybody on that show. So he blazes through Junior Dos Santos. I don't think it's going to take too long for him to get a title shot. That's going to be interesting. You know, I'd love to see big fat Roy Nelson go up against big, bulky, muscular Brock Lesnar and win. You know, every fat guy in America will go nuts. So, anyway, there is the rest of the card here, too, to talk about. We have Dustin Hazlett versus Rick Story, Phil Davis versus Rodney Wallace, Johnny Hendricks versus Charlie Brenneman, and Stefan Struve fighting a local guy that I've seen in action, Christian Moorcraft, who's undefeated at 7-0 or 6-0, I believe. Tim Boach fighting. Yep, we've interviewed him. And we had had the pleasure of having him having a ringside seat for his last fight with another undefeated fighter, Lee Bean. Also, we have Tim Boach versus Todd Brown on this card, and Ben Saunders versus Dennis Fallman. And unfortunately, last weekend, there was another UFC event where I had to watch one of our other previous interviewees get one of the worst black eyes I've ever seen, like a broken orbital bone, which so at least that's what Joe Rogan thinks it was. You know, he seems to always think that's what it is when somebody's eyes are up. That's John Howard, John Doomsday Howard. He had an undefeated streak in the UFC, and actually going back, I think, 3 years or something, they were saying in the broadcast. And he ended up having a war with this guy, Jake Ellenberger. And the guy just fought in real close at the beginning, kept the fight up against the cage, and used a lot of Muay Thai to soften him up. And then John had landed a few crazy punches and, you know, rocked him a couple times, but he couldn't really put much of a strategy together to get around the Ellenberger's best strengths. He, like, tried like hell, and even blind, he was swinging for the fences. But they eventually kind of uneventfully stopped it when the ref came in and took a look at the eye, and it was swollen shut. And the doctor came in and looked at the eye and said he couldn't see. But the ref brought the doctor in. Anyway, that was unfortunate. Takanori Gomi, I think it's Gomi or Gomi. Takanori Gomi actually really was probably the upset of the night, knocking out Tyson Griffin with a one-punch roundhouse in the right hand. So that was an interesting fight, too. This was all on Versus for free, so if you didn't see it, you missed out. Also, John Jones took out Vladimir Machyshenko pretty handily in the first round by TKO. Also, Yushin Okami had a three-round battle with Mark Munoz, and he won by split decision. Also, Paul Kelly beat Jacob Volkman by decision. DeMarcus Johnson won by second-round TKO over Matt Riddle. James Irvin beat Igor Pogorzelczyk by round one submission. Brian Stann also won by round three submission over Mike Massenzio. And Darren Elkins submitted Charles Oliveira in round one. Shut it up. All right. So there you have your UFC report, and it's about 8:40 here. So let's try to give our good friend there, Mark Van Heining, a call. If we can figure this out here. There we go.
Please enjoy the music while your party is reached. Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 208-661-6860 is not available. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Hey, Mark, this is Rich from Fight News Unlimited. We're live on the air trying to get a hold of you. Give us a minute, we'll call back and try to get you on the line on the show. And hopefully you'll pick up next time. Okay. So, unfortunately, I think we just gave out his number to all of our listeners, but...
I don't think you did, Rich, because I didn't hear anything.
Oh.
I heard the good, the ugly, but I didn't hear any phone. I didn't hear any number, I mean.
Oh, well, they read out his number on the air. What else do we have to go on here? Let's check out the boxing news for the day.
They're trying to come up here and fix my freaking computer. It pisses me off. While we're speaking right now, I'm trying to reconfigure this piece of shit so I can get back online. I'm too lazy to actually get into my laptop because I hit typing on a thing.
Right, here's a tragic boxing story for you. I don't know if you heard about this, but I don't even know how this happened. It's like fact is stranger than fiction. But the toddler has reportedly died after a boxing lesson with his father.
What?
A South Florida toddler is dead and his father charged with aggravated child abuse and neglect after allegedly punching the child in a boxing lesson. According to Miami-Dade Police, Lee Will DeJesus told investigators he punched his son repeatedly up to 15 times while the boy was on a bed to teach him how to box. I don't know what style of boxing requires you to lay on a bed, but anyway, 2-year-old.
Dude, why was he laying on a bed? That's ridiculous.
2-year-old. 2-year-old.
Yeah, right.
Lee Brown underwent surgery at Miami Children's Hospital and later died. Jesus reportedly told investigators that the boy had been knocked off the bed and struck his head against the tile floor. Jesus waited 30 minutes to an hour to call 911.
Well, I'll tell you, my father wanted to teach me boxing when I was about 2 years old. And he bought me a little pair of gloves, and then he got me one of those inflatable bot bags, like Spider-Man that had Hulk 1. I had a couple of them. And then when I got to be the age of 4, they bought me one of those little Sugar-Ray Leonard punching bags in a stand. At no time do I remember getting punched up to 15 times laying on a bed, because that's fucking ridiculous. And you know what? If this guy wants to teach us some boxing, how about I teach him boxing first, okay? How about he sits there on a bed while I punch him 15 times? We'll see how that feels. Making me think about this now. I wasn't around for this incident. The guy that I used to work with was telling me about it. And he was a nice gentleman. And, sometimes you had to know him. And there were certain people that he was cool with and certain people he was, kind of like a dick to. I was one of the guys that was cool with him. So we're talking one day, and he's like, yeah, I was at a party this weekend. And he was out here out in the garage, so I'm banging around and everything. And I go in there. There's a guy there in his, late 30s, early 40s, and he's got a pair of gloves on, and he's, beating up, these, 10-year-olds. And he's like, yeah, I'm teaching him how to box. And he hit, the one kid, hit the kid in the stomach and knocked the kid down. And the kid, and he's like, oh, you got to be tougher than that. And he's sitting there, and he's like, yeah, I'm teaching these kids how to box. And then he's like, excuse me, he's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm teaching you how to box. He's like, oh, are you a trainer? Guys, like, well, and he goes, are you a trainer? Are you a certified trainer? Can I see your license? Can I see your certification? Where do you train people at? Where do you do boxing training at? And then the guy wouldn't answer him. He goes, hey, how about you put the gloves on with me? And maybe teach me how to box a little bit. And I told him, I'm like, hey, John, I got a better idea. How about you get this guy and you invite him over to a place so he can teach me how to box a little bit. And I was like, that'd be the funniest thing in the world. I'm like, yeah, I know it would. It would be kind of humorous. Because when you get these people that like to talk so much shit and they throw their hands up, and then they realize that they're throwing their hands up at someone that knows a lot more than they do, it's generally pretty funny to watch them cry like a bitch.
Unfortunately, we have another story about Mike Tyson. More bad news about Mike Tyson. He's getting sued now for $115 million. Guess what for? Over the name Iron Mike. Some guy named Mike Lee, 49 years old, former professional boxer, claims that he coined the name Iron Mike before he began fighting professional bouts in 1983, which is funny to me because we all know from Rocky Marciano fame and the foundation work that I've done that Iron Mike Pusateri came along way before 1983.
Exactly. You're right. You know what? You're exactly right.
He's
going
to have more of a right to this suit than this Landrum asshole. Anyway.
And this other guy, did he even fight professionally? That's one question.
Yes, he did.
Oh, he did. Okay. Now, who in the world is saying you can't have a nickname? Because, okay, if you ever...
He owns a trademark.
It was a trademark. Of course. Okay, here's one for you. We have Tony TNT Tubbs, Tony TNT Tucker, Meldrick TNT Taylor, and a bunch of other guys that, you know, I knew a guy in the amateurs. His name was Jimmy TNT Torres. I guess Tony Tubbs was first, so is he going to sue everybody else?
Well, that's a case of an actual product, though. TNT, which is made by a company, probably. Who would sue over a connection between a product and a person,
Here's a question. I've been fighting longer than, well, I can't confirm this, but you figure I took the name the Tornado when I was 9 years old. That was
Margarito.
22 years ago. I would say, can I sue Antonio Margarito?
Do it. Do it. I'd love to
see it. I should. I trademarked that.
Yeah, in November now.
Yeah, that's a load of shit. You know my opinion on that. But yeah, if you look on my Facebook page, there's a picture of me in this album called How I Got This Way, and I have a cape on. Like I was pretending like I was a professional wrestler. I'm wearing a cape, and you can clearly see on the back it says Tornado Tony. So, you know, I've had that since I was 9 years old. Can I market that? Can nobody else in the world ever be called the Tornado? Get the hell out of here.
This guy thinks it's worth $115 million. He said he's been hindered from getting any major title fights or sponsorships because of the name confusion. And Tyson was also in the news this week because he admitted in an interview that the whole experience with the movies, with the Hangover, he only did it for drug money, and he never thought it was going to be that big. And he thought he was going to be selling bootlegs for money of the video. And the whole experience actually changed his life, he says. And we actually posted a video on our website a few days ago, I think, with Mike Tyson's interview.
Changed his life for the good, I hope.
He's
so many bad things in his life. I mean, you want the guy in his 40s now, 44 years old, to be able to turn it around, be able to, you know, live out a productive life, be a productive member of society, you know, not getting in trouble anymore, you know, just enjoying the fame that he has and doing positive things. Hey, his role in The Hangover was great. You know, I loved it. You know, I thought it was hysterical. My mom's never been a big Tyson fan. She's hated him for years. And when I was trying to get her to watch the movie with me one day, I'm like, you got to watch it with me. It's really funny. She's like, I don't want to watch it. I'm like, why not? She goes, Mike Tyson's in it. I'm like, Mom, Mike Tyson's in it for 2 minutes. She goes, I don't care if he was in it for 10 minutes. I'm like, 2 minutes is less than 10 minutes. Watch the freaking movie. One of her favorites now. My one friend, and he was a Lock Haven friend of mine. I know you didn't know him. But I have to send you his photo. He's, you know, a heavy set, kind of chunky guy. He's more immature than I am. He's like, you know, for Halloween, he goes, I'm growing a beard out, getting a shaggy wig, and I'm going as Alan. I'm like, that is fantastic. I'm going to get, like, a little baby and, you know, put it into a, like, little holder. And then last week, my younger cousin loves the movie. It's her favorite. And we're on a bus trip down to D.C. And I was like, hey, look, damn it, it's Skittles. And I bought a pack of Skittles, and my mom had, like, a little purse, half satchel, half purse. So I made Dana hold it, and I put the Skittles hanging out of it. She's like, hey, there's Skittles in there. And I'm like, we're walking around this rest stop looking at a bunch of freaking retards. So, see, that's one thing I love about the show, Rich. Like I said, I was really bummed about an hour ago when I came on. And we just start, you know, we talk boxing, we talk mixed martial arts, we talk Mike Tyson, we talk movies, and we have fun. And that's, you know, why I'm here after, you know, almost 3 years.
Well, yeah. Let's give Mark a call again. See if we can get him back on. If not, we're going to have an early ending, I think. I'm not don't.
Please enjoy the music while your party is reached.
Is he on TV?
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system 20866.
Oh, you are giving that to someone, right?
Okay.
That's why I was just talking over it. That's why
you had a message when you called me. Well, doesn't look like we're going to get Mark Van Heining on the show tonight, so we're going to have to plan for next week, I guess. And, sorry, but well, I got plenty of other stuff to do tonight anyway, and I'm sure everybody out there could use a quick show from us for once. 2 hours of us on and on. And we covered quite a lot anyway, so.
We talked about a lot of things. I mean, I was just proud of myself being 2 for 2 last weekend. pretty complete, like I always do. And, you know, like I said, it was a tough night for me. I had talked to my dad yesterday, and, you know, he had mentioned I saw Marian Anderson, and he's like, hey, man, great news. You know, when he called me, I was happy to hear that. And then to see that email tonight from a friend of mine was a little bit shocking, a little hard to deal with, but, you know, you live, you remember your good memories, and you always take what, you know, someone gave you. And that's how pretty much, I don't know if we're going to do short tonight, a few things the way I open the show and a few things, you know, I want to, you know, maybe say a few things before I get off tonight. But the one thing you can always take, you know, from your life in general, I'm going to be philosophical now, is what everybody gives you, whether it's good or whether it's bad, is a memory. And like I said, some memories are good. And, you know, if someone teaches you something, you know, you take that and you, and the best thing you can do with it is you teach it to others. And there's a lot of things that he taught me. And the one thing, even the one guy said to my dad yesterday, oh man, Jimmy, he was always with the, and this is actually some stuff that maybe some classic fighters like Rocky Marciano do. He was always into like the hop, like they call it the skip to get on, the get up, move real fast and get on somebody. But there's always a dip behind your shoulder, just like Marciano used to do. And he's like, you know, you get up there fast and you dip. Because then when that person throws the punch, you're already under defense. And like I said, 10 years later, it's something I still teach to people myself. I teach to people myself in the way, you know, we taught about balance, the way about moving your feet, moving your hands. So if you look at my eyes, you look at my hands, just little things. And like I said, the best way to honor somebody and keep their legacy alive is to teach what they taught you. And it's funny to talk about it tonight because you know, obviously, this is kind of, you know, weighing on my mind a little bit. Earlier today, obviously, before I, you know, found out the sad news, I was at work and I was on lunch break and I stopped down at a local mini market, you know, get a coffee and to get a like snack. And the one guy that was in there was a local police officer. And I had met him a few months ago when I was going to those wrestling matches that I had the pictures on Facebook with Scott Steiner and all that. And FOP, he was the police officer that brought the tickets to me at work. So I was talking to him about everything, and he was an older gentleman with him, and we were just talking about, you know, certain athletes, even like professional wrestling, which is obviously more sports entertainment than everything. Angry Joker, he goes, yeah, the one guy on the car, the guy's supposed to be the German, he goes, he speaks better English than I do, and he's, you know, from, you know, wherever, you know, hometown apple pie, you know, white picket fence type of guy. And we're joking about this guy and that guy. And he's like, yeah, a lot of these wrestlers are just really, really nice guys. Well, even the guys who play the bad guys. So we start talking about, like, boxers and stuff. And I was like, yeah, no, I know a lot of boxers. And we were talking about, like, how guys got into it. And I told the story that I tell you all the time, you know, getting in trouble on the street and, you know, trying to find a release and all that. And he goes, yeah, he goes, I just wish, you know, more young kids today would try to find an outlet like that. And I told this officer, Dan, I said, well, whenever I talk to anybody, I mean, I offer myself
And what I've learned over the years from guys like Jimmy Arthur, Kevin Burwell, Red Thompson, guys that, you know, invested a lot of time in me, that I honor them by teaching it to others. And not just the sport and not just the style and how to do things and the technique, but the teachings of what it takes to be a real, positive human being in this society. Because, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times that's just, you know, lacking out of these kids, and they want to take boxing, you know, because they want to beat people up and they want to do this. That's not what it's about. What it's about is, you know, going in there as a sportsman and competing against someone else. Yeah, it's a violent sport, and the same as mixed martial arts. It's a violent sport, but it's the thrill of the competition, which is more important than, inflicting injury. And when you get to do it, you know, as long as I've been involved in it, and as long as, you've been involved in it, and a bunch of these other guys that have been doing it a long time, the guys like Iceman John Scully and Ken Shamrock and all those guys, that's when you know what it really, really means.
Well, yeah, I know I dealt with a lot of tragedy in my life and lost my mother at an early age and can definitely relate to losing somebody. Somebody that I've fought for over the last few years, and Lucille, I'm still going to have to fight for her even after she's gone here, it looks like. It's unfortunate how some of the best people end up having to suffer the worst pain in life. But that's fate. That's fate would have it. And hopefully something gets learned out of this whole situation, as you always hope for in death, that you can learn a lesson from it, or you can at least take something from that person's life and go with it and live with that comfort that, that person wanted you to have from the time that you spent with them. So.
Well, like I said when I opened the show tonight, and I was, like I said, a little distracted and definitely very upset that Jimmy Arthur was a well-known and highly respected figure in Philadelphia boxing. And like I said, I only had a very short time, working with him back in, like, a little bit in 98 and then again in 2000. And I took a lot out of him in my, short time with him. And what's really important is there are other guys, guys like Mike Rafferty, who I'm going to work on getting on the show sometime. It's a lot of guys. Like, he worked with everybody in Philadelphia. He would just go to different gyms and just pick out guys and just offer advice and offer help, and that's, a legacy that I don't think will ever be forgotten, because he spread himself, so much doing what he loved so much that, there's no way that legacy is ever going to disappear. And that's good. It really is, because, I was talking to a friend. He's actually a friend of mine who lives up by you, Rich. He's a guy from Salem, Mass. He was going to meet me at that Sox game last year. Unfortunately, he had a wedding that night. But he wrote, and he's usually a guy, he just always jokes around and the most, controversial guy you'll ever meet, but he's got a really good heart. He just likes to be tough on the exterior. And he wrote something about a year or so ago, and I'll never forget it. He goes, when you're gone, the person you're with the most in your life is yourself. And he goes, you're always there with your thoughts. You're always there with your beliefs, your memories. And he goes, what happens when you're gone? He goes, a memory that you have is what happens to that memory. Because the one example I always think about is one of the greatest moments in my life was also a bad moment for somebody else. One of the greatest moments of my life was back in 1998, my last boxing show at Lock Haven, when I fought Michael Jordan. And it was great for me, and I take a very positive, memory out of it. Not so great for him. So it's like you take a situation that was great for me, bad for him, and it's like how it's emblazed in my memory and how differently it's emblazed in his. Now, I'll remember other times that, like, I had fights that did not work out my way. And I just remember them, and they eat at me, and they kind of stew at me, and it just, boy, I wish I could have done something better. And then I think, Yeah, but the other guy, he has the great memory in his brain from it. And so it's just, I'm just kind of rambling now. I'm a little distracted tonight, but I think you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah. This is like the counseling hour. The combat sports show tonight. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I feel like I'm laying on a psychiatrist's couch right now.
Hey, you know, life and death. You got to deal with it. It's one of those
things that
makes up the human experience, so you got to get used to it. But anyway, thanks everybody for listening in tonight. Of course, we always have to thank our sponsors. Don't thank enough. Discipline.com, of course. DISSIPLINE.com. We have PrimeAthletics.com. Our Zions eBay store sponsor at the top of our blog. And click on our Google Ads, folks, at the top of our blog. And ScarletLawyer.com and FightRadio.info. And if anywhere we have a site, go over there and click on our Google Ads. And there's the big banner. And underneath a huge banner on top of our blog, there's a Google ad that's an image. And if you click on that, it's like 75 cents a click. So it's like every time you stop by the site, you should click on that for us.
Absolutely.
So we can make some money. I don't understand. You know, it's like we get so many thousand page views a day, but only like one or two clicks. Come on. I recently changed the actual algorithm there of the ads so that it shows more popular ads rather than just boxing and MMA. It's going to show like car ads and insurance and mortgage ads and that type of stuff that people are actually looking for. Not everybody wants to go out and buy a whole bunch of MMA gear except the fighters themselves. And fighters themselves are so busy training, they're not looking at the news half the time. So I figured time for change, and it's sort of working, but we need more clicks, so click on that stuff and help us out. Visit all our other sites too. That's it.
Oh,
drinkcocaine.com too. Don't forget about them. Don't snort it. Drink it. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Don't try to get the case for yourself there, Tony. So now you need some.
You never have enough of it. You know, I was there from. You ever see that movie Role Models with Sean Williams, Cotton, Paul Rudd?
No.
You know, if you get a chance where it's, to rent it or whatever, watch it. If it's on HBO, I mean, I will not miss it. I love this movie. And it starts off, you know, before they get into trouble. They're two energy drink salesmen. And like, they go to all schools, like, talking kids, stay off drugs, drink energy drinks. And like, you see, like, you go to the bathroom, and it's like pure green. Like, oh my God, it looks like Shrek piss. And that reminds me anytime I see Bronda, because Bronda is that like dark, deep green color. I'm like, oh, look, it's Shrek piss.
Bronda is over and done with.
Yeah.
No more. Anyway, thanks, folks, for stopping by, and thank you, Tony, once again for another week of stellar co-hosting.
Thank you. I try.
Next week we'll have a better guest. Sure.
Yeah, well, Terry, till next week,
we'll get Butterbean again.
We'll
call Butterbean.
He was always fun. He was always fun. Gotta love the bean.
Yeah, we'll get him on. I'll call a secret.
All right, that's it. Hey, sounds good to me, man. All right, I'll listen to Tornado. Till next week, guys.
All right.
See you later.
Okay.